All right, 1, 2, 3.
All right, just for real. Let's get serious.
No, about I'm not
let's
get, doing it
let's
again.
Let's get serious
start
about having
it.
Fun,
uh-uh.
guys.
You do it.
Let's get serious
you
about
just
having
start.
Fun.
Just start. I'm not. Mm-mm.
Hey, everybody. And hey, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
This week's episode, The Farmer's Daughter, starring Kevin Costner. Oh, The New Daughter, starring Kevin Costner.
2009. And...
Would that have been better?
Hey, I have a porn called The Farmer's Daughter.
Well, sure, that is, but that's not what I want this to be. I'm saying, would that be better, though?
The Farmer's Daughter?
Farmer's Daughter 2, pitchforking.
I'm making it.
Good. I don't know. This... What?
Would Farmer's Daughter be better?
I don't think so.
I don't think
he's
so.
He's not a farmer.
Oh, no, I'm not asking for a title. I'm asking, would that movie be better?
Yes.
If that were
yes.
the movie,
yes.
if we were changing this around and he were a farmer and, you know, this was his daughter and there was a whole different plot and a whole different set of things happening. Oh, wait, that would imply something was happening, though.
The Farmer's Daughter is, well, listen, it's got a great, like, obviously they didn't have a lot of money for the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So one woman keeps going, my. Good sex is like good cooking. You gotta grease the pan.
What?
Yeah.
He's talking about the porn.
Give me some of that poontang, lady. It's like late 60s, early 70s porn. It's horrible. Spalding Gray, isn't it?
What?
Oh, is that the one he was in? I knew he was in some. Huh.
Spalding, like,
yeah.
Monologist.
Like now dead.
Yeah.
Spalding.
He's
right.
in it, yeah. Just fucking away, guys. Fucking away. Guys.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he is.
Fucking?
Do you want me to send it to you?
No, right. I don't.
It's good.
He will, you realize.
It'll get you off.
You can say no. He'll still...
Okay, moving beyond that.
It'll get you
the
drunk.
New daughter.
It'll get you drunk.
New
it'll
daughter, 2009, Kevin Costner, go.
And, Ophelia from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes.
Ivana Baquero.
Yeah.
And Noah Taylor, who's in every Cameron Crowe film made the last 10 years.
When you said go, does that mean I can leave? Because
yes.
I don't really have much to say about this.
Let me give you. Let me tell you that.
See if that piques our interest.
Yeah, if that really gets you right there. A single father moves his two children to rural South Carolina only to watch his daughter exhibit increasingly strange behavior. Was this South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was filmed in Charleston, actually.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It definitely.
You
can
keep
like
asking the question. Won't change the answer. Yeah.
Music
it was.
By Javier Navarrete, who also composed most of Guillermo del Toro's stuff.
But I like the Netflix description better. They've gotten increasingly bizarre because they're trying to hype the films because they don't get watched enough. A blood-curdling thriller oozing with tension that mounts until the astounding climax. Costner is perfect as the desperate dad in the scary Suspenser. That's not the only time I've seen Suspenser in a descriptor.
Is that a Dario Argento movie?
I'd use Actioner a lot.
Actioner?
Yeah, I use
that's
Actioner.
A it's
Suspenser.
Suspenser.
A Suspenser.
Suspensera.
I'll tell you one thing.
They should rename this. That's the foreign title for this. Suspensera.
Suspensera. And it's about an elderly lady who fucks a bunch of people.
I think that should be punished for use of adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
For one, they abused the adjectives. None of those
blood
were accurate.
Curdling.
None were accurate.
What
astounding.
Blood, yeah. Blood curdling as a descriptor for this movie?
Would that
no.
mean your blood gets so cold that it just finally clots up?
I guess.
Yeah. Or you die? And
well,
you're
like you get so scared. You're so scared, you know. So
your blood stops. Your heart
it's
stops.
It's like a blood curdling scream.
Yeah.
Curdles
makes
your blood.
Heart,
curdles your blood. Curdles. Curdles your blood.
Let me ask you this. Gina, or Drew, did you watch this with Gina?
Drenner?
Yeah. Gina wouldn't watch. She likes Kay Cost.
When they pulled up to the house, did she immediately go, oh my God, I want a house like that?
No, did Nicole?
Nicole looked at it. Nicole, that's her house. That's her jam.
Okay.
She saw, I would love a house like that.
I would fucking hate it.
It reminds me.
Lawn, don't you?
My favorite movie house.
You
don't
have to cut grass in a house
I
like
hope
that.
Not.
My favorite movie house is the house from Secret Window starring Johnny Depp. I want one of those like cabins with the second story that overlooks the first story. That would be my dream house. I mean, that's... It could be a one-bedroom apartment, but if it had that little overlooking thing...
You should look into the Gatlinburg area. A lot of those houses are built like that.
You should just look in the Gatlinburg
Just look in the Gatlinburg
area. Sevierville.
Because I want...
There are no...
I like watching obese people waddle by on break. That's my dream.
Then you'll get it. It'll come true.
Oh, okay. Good. I want is my dream to come true.
Oddly enough, anybody listens to this podcast... Gatlinburg has one of the best aquariums I've ever been to. You wouldn't
Does
think
it?
The Aquarium of the Smokies? You wouldn't think so, but it is. It's better than the Atlanta Aquarium.
Is it?
Yeah. Really, I'm not being sarcastic. Just, there's no.
Because they spent a shitload of money as one in Atlanta.
They did, and they failed.
Wow.
No, they didn't. They didn't fail.
That's
but they,
pretty. I've only been once. I liked it.
I like the Georgia Aquarium.
It's okay.
It's better than Chattanooga's.
Okay, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah,
Brian. I don't know. Here's the thing. I can't understand it. I think this might be the only aquarium of its type that I've been to. It's not like that's not my destination of choice when I hit a town. I'm not. Oh wait, I did go to Virginia Beach. The one there was that in Virginia Beach, I guess.
Yeah, there's one in Virginia Beach.
We went to that on a rainy day along with everyone else in the town.
Been to the Baltimore Aquarium?
I don't care about
He's
any
of
this.
He's a connoisseur.
What's the one in Monterey Bay Aquarium? Been there.
The New Daughter was based on a short story by John Connolly, who's a noted crime mystery slash horror ish suspenser.
That's really his thing.
He does, I mean, but his detective novels.
Suspenser.
Oh, yeah.
Suspenser novels. His some of his fiction's kind of, I mean, it has that.
Need some suspensers to hold up my pants.
I get it.
Mm.
His fiction, though, does that borderline between
boring and
between horror and mystery. Yeah. Like it's very often like the Unquiet and those novels are sort of about things that are supernatural. Also, when I pointed at you, I expected you to say
the
Madonna song.
And I was waiting for you to finish so I could quote a lyric from Borderline, but
do
then
it.
You ruined it.
Let's do it. Referencing it, it's not meta enough for you, or it's too meta.
Well, I was gonna wait till you're done. I was like, well, he's also known for pushing her love to the blood.
Whose love? His daughters?
Madonna's?
His ex-wives?
Mine. Directed by Luiso Berdejo.
Who wrote a lot of the recent...
Wreck.
Yeah.
And he wrote Wreck and Quarantine.
I mean, there's a lot... But the thing is...
Aren't they
like,
one and the same?
Like, coming into this movie, there's a lot of quality in it, and you could tell that they were thinking... You were telling they thought they had something that was going to be pretty good. They had Coster, they have the English language...
Well, production value is really good in...
Let me stop you there. That should have told them that they had nothing was when they had Costner. The guy is like...
It looks like the cover looks like the Postman 2.
It does.
Doesn't it? Sorry. Been a Postman.
Costner is Xanax in human form. He has no energy. How did this guy get to be so famous?
He's still so damn likable, though.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't hate the guy.
I mean, one of my favorite lines in the movie... Well, I really like the line, especially his delivery where he says, girls don't like jerky for dinner.
Right.
Like, his delivery of that line was great.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Girls don't like jerky. For dinner,
I
mean, that's the thing. He's very likable. He has a chemistry, a charisma, and he has chemistry with certain you know of his co-stars. All I mean, he works in certain things.
Whitney
Houston. Is he a great actor? No.
Has he ever won an Oscar?
Yeah,
he won Oscars, not for acting.
Okay,
he did win the Oscars. Dancing Wolves did give him Oscars, but not acting Oscars. But I mean, but yeah, he doesn't stretch. He has that. It's that quality that Richard Gere kind of has too.
Yeah,
I mean,
see that.
These aren't great actors, but there's something. There's this charm about them that you know puts them over the top. We're not talking George Clooney here, who has charm and
it's
that
his
talent.
Suspensory.
Yeah,
it's that suspensory. Gets us every time.
But
suspensory. Yeah. It's gonna be our
it's
theme
that
for the night.
Old school sort of actor thing that a lot of actors early on weren't great actors. They just had charisma and we.
And
what's
star,
weird is
star
Kevin
quality.
Costner doesn't have a lot of charisma, but he is likable. When you watch him, like
He comes in and he puts that scene to sleep. He's like, I'm putting everybody to sleep in this scene.
I think he wore his own clothes in the movie.
One beige sweater.
Right.
It wasn't even a cosmic.
I have that down here. I was like, is that the sweater they give you once you cross 40?
I'm pretty sure that he just brought his own clothes. But I mean, they really, I think they
really. You think I can take this home with me? You brought it, Kevin. Oh.
I really think.
Do I have to take it home?
You don't have anything new I could borrow?
I wore this in Bull Durham, guys.
I mean, I just really think that, I mean, they did think they had something. You had, like, you know, the debut of Baquero in an English language film. You have the writer of
Wreck,
one of the writers of Wreck and some other stuff coming and making his, I would imagine his English language debut. Sure.
It was.
You have, the music by, you have Noretta doing that again.
And it looks good. I mean, the director of photography did a fantastic job of this movie.
It's not a bad looking movie.
Even when I was bored, I still enjoyed the way the film looked and was shot. It was really, really well lit.
You know, you had a point, because the very first scene when he's talking to the kids, and they won't show him for like that first 2 minutes, all they show is from his neck down. I was like, okay, they're going to do very, it's going to be a very... deliberately, like the way it's filmed and the way the characters are shot are going to be.
And the opening theme. Thank you. The opening thing. I jumped directly from watching The Killing into watching it. The opening theme to the movie sounds very similar to the theme from The Killing, which is bizarre.
Those are some bad opening fonts, though.
Yeah, but the opening shots were really nice.
In the movie,
the Comic Sans, Helvetica New.
Well, notice we talked about all that stuff, but notice the one thing we didn't talk about there and where they did skimp, or at least they just mishired, was the writer. And I think that's where it falls apart. Like, the story's fine that they John adapted Conley. Of John Connolly's, but they had this guy's other credit is The Haunting of Molly Hartley, which is not a good kind of teen horror movie that came out a few
which
years
ago. Which
is
also
ago,
on Netflix, right?
Probably. But I mean, and
it just falls apart after
the
first act.
Well, I think he's the weak link. There's just nothing else going on. It still looks good the whole rest of the movie. Costner is still Costner the whole way through the movie. The acting is fine.
Louisa does a fine job.
Nothing happens after. Honestly, after the best thing that happens early on,
the gun.
That was
tense. I like that scene.
It made me tense.
I was so angry at that kid. It's like,
that's
a fucking idiot. You
but
know?
Kids
like,
are.
Jesus.
But once kids get all kid about that shit, then it's
I totally could see Jackson doing that. Right. Like, drop the fuck.
But I'm not.
Drop the fucking gun.
Right.
And then he just shoots you with like bug barrels.
But Kevin Costner's reaction was a little calmer than what mine would have been. After he put that gun down, I'd have dove across the couch. You motherfucker.
Start wailing on him.
No, there's a great early shot, and it's the only early scare we get. It's a guy on the roof, the monster on the roof that we see. That's
night,
blending
that
in,
night.
And the number one thing I think when I'm watching that is like, oh, that was really cool. And then I think, that's a guy in a suit. Thank God it's a guy in a suit.
Not a CG.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, all the CGI monsters that we've seen, that's just a guy in a suit. That's the best thing I could have seen in this. And then we don't see him again until
the
end of the movie.
I realize that
it has a Jaws quality where they're trying to hold off the monster.
When I,
it's generous of you.
I've wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a writer. And I realized what probably made you want
so
to be
so much so that you said it twice.
Right. What made me probably want to be a writer three times was that this Hollywood idea that writers don't do anything all day.
Yeah, they just sit around.
Yeah. Right, I thought, man, in movies that's why they make people writers, because otherwise they'd have to get shit done every day.
They'd have to explain, why is he not at work?
Why are there 8 hours of his life missing a day? Also, what the fuck MacBook year was that? I haven't seen a black MacBook. I've had
with
a MacBook.
The upside down.
You've
got to
be the only person who thought that one.
I did too.
I had a MacBook in 1999, and they had not made a black MacBook. They switched over to the titanium in like 1998, I think. So where did this come from? I mean, does he have this thing for 12 years?
Maybe.
It took me out of the movie.
I thought what took me out of the movie is I thought
it
Kevin
said
Costner,
chapter dash one.
I thought he was. I thought he was the least believable. Occupation you could have given Kevin Costner was writer. I can see him doing lots of things. He doesn't look like the guy who's gonna. He doesn't look like a writer. And he doesn't come off like a writer in that. I didn't buy that at all. I would have bought if he was taking a sabbatical to take care of the two kids that his wife has just left him with, which made no sense. This is the worst mother ever. To leave him with this guy who they even were like, how are you gonna raise this? You have no clue about these kids.
She wasn't that bad. I mean, they're, maybe it was bad.
Who wasn't that bad? The mother?
No, Kevin Costner.
But no, they were saying
he was a good dad.
No, that's the thing. But they were saying that, like, I mean, because I imagine he was the writer dad. He wasn't ever around. He was always in his writing his books or traveling to sell his books
or in
that.
His boxer shorts and doing the stereotypical writer. He wakes up and drinks whatever beer juice swill is left in glasses around the kitchen. He's like, bang.
I didn't know that.
Or you projecting?
We would have been dealing with his alcoholic tendencies if he were an alcoholic writer too. Yeah. They would have thrown that in as another plot development that we didn't really need. Another character.
I got in trouble. At one point, the kid gets in trouble for saying something sucks. I got in trouble in fifth grade for saying something sucks, and I was such a candy ass that I tried to get out of it by saying that. I said someone sucks, and then I tried to get out of it by saying that, oh, I said he sucks an egg. That's what I meant. That's what I was, because I didn't really understand why I was getting in trouble for it, right. Because I said something sucks all the time when I was in fifth or sixth grade. So
I remember
I can sympathize with this kid getting in trouble for that.
For a brief time when I was probably like 7 or 8, my uncle uncle and his family moved in with us when we lived in Virginia, and he was a great musician. He would, he'd always make up songs on the piano and guitar and sing to us. We'd always have a great time laughing at him. But one time...
Is this going to go bad?
No touching. He made up a song, and he made up his own lyrics to Quiet Riot's Come On, Feel the Noise. And he was like, come on, feel the noise, girls, suck your boys. I didn't know what that meant at the time. But I did get in trouble at school the next day when I sang the song. My dad was like, where'd you learn that? I was like, Uncle Tom.
It's weird how that sort of...
Yeah.
You are policed by someone who doesn't know your home life, and you're held to these expectations of school. Where
right.
I didn't get in trouble for that at home. I didn't curse in fifth or sixth grade, but I would say sucks, and yet I was the kid who got in trouble because I thought that it was safe territory because I didn't curse. I thought this thing is okay because I don't say any other bad words.
My mom didn't like that either. We weren't allowed to say sucks for a while, so I just never
I really
cared
about that. Yeah,
that was one for me. Yeah.
But the movie, I like the first act of the film. I gotta be honest. I thought it was a nice setup. Them sort of feeling each other out. Well, I guess I shouldn't use that with a dad and his children, but trying
to find
boundaries. If
it's honest, it's okay. If there's no ulterior motive, you can say that.
Yeah. They eat a lot of cured meats, which I like. I think that makes for a good father. Bacon and jerky and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'll go with you with that too. What I came into it was, is I was open to it. It lost my goodwill pretty quickly by not doing anything.
Yeah, it really kind of stalled in the middle. And Samantha Mathis, what kind of teacher meets new people out front?
Yeah, I thought that
I saw that. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Who the fuck does that?
If it's not the principal,
that's
who
what
just,
I was thinking.
Yeah,
yeah.
If it's not the principal.
And then she all of a sudden she's completely involved in their lives.
Yeah, utterly involved. Like, she just shows up when I would think a stranger would not be involved in these things.
Yeah.
But he doesn't think once to call the mother, does he, to try to make contact?
I don't
Which she's gone. That. She's gone, but you should at least call
her asshole boyfriend.
There's a lot of, like, movie things in here that really bug me. Like, when he goes to visit the dude about the house way later, and I'm jumping farther ahead, and... He doesn't think to take his disturbed child with him to watch over her. He just leaves her at home.
Well, no,
is that
what he left with the
babysitter?
Yeah.
And they did it to push the plot forward, but it was such a dumb bullshit movie thing to do that it drove me fucking bug nutty.
I was okay with that because at least they fucking moved the plot forward.
I have that here. The movie is moving at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
It's like they finally were doing something there.
I can't decide when I turned off sort of my brain. I think I liked the first 20-30 minutes of the movie. I was fine with it, but it got tedious and unboring. It should have been 15-20 minutes shorter.
Oh,
it was like a minute.
It's an hour,
it was an hour
48.
50.
Yeah,
they could have cut
hour,
out.
It was hour 42, though, and it had like 5. It had like 6 minutes of credits too.
Yeah.
Did any of you look to see if the Root Around search engine was real?
No,
I did. I was like, oh, let's see if this is real.
Those are some of the worst search terms he was using there too.
My dad's an asshole.
Teenage daughter, comma, complicated.
And
or
this
something
is a
like
writer.
That. Yeah, it's like those are terrible search terms.
I use words in my life, and I can't use them here.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say. You realize that when he's searching for strange mound, he's gonna be coming up with some a lot different than what he got.
Blue waffles.
I'm just glad I didn't have autocorrect or like auto finish. Why would Kevin Costner bury a gun? He's
that,
already taken
I had that
apart.
Down.
A 5-year-old's not going to put a gun back together. Guns and kids. Oh, The girl who played Luisa from Pan's Labyrinth, her Spanish accent must have bled through every single line she uttered. Do you think so?
I don't think she uttered many lines, did she?
They were all angsty, so I guess...
I'm building a nest, Dad.
Jeez, get out of my room. I'm just building a nest.
I'm building a nest.
It was almost as bad as your Thai accent from ABC's of Death.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. God, it was terrible.
I murdered You're that awful. Accent. That language already sounds like someone's being murdered, and I murdered even more.
It was a double homicide.
I guess this is about the time that we were... I was just like, so what's going on? So there have been a lot of spiders.
Well, that happens way later. See, that's when I think that's when I started like tune out, because there's a lot of going to school, which...
That just shows you how few notes I have. I already thought
I kind of like...
That was pretty...
One of my favorite scenes was when he goes into the like the convenience store that is really nice and elaborate. The two people working behind the counter were really great because they had a rapport that felt like they were married.
And yeah.
It was a really great dialogue sequence because when she starts talking, he's like, like the girl's name, like whatever the woman's name is. Right. He said it in a way that's like, oh, they just got small town life. Perfectly there.
Yeah.
And I wish there was more of that sort of small town.
And
stuff.
I also like Costner's response too. He's like, puts his nose in, okay, you gotta tell.
Seriously.
It's like, it's just,
you can't do that.
But see, that's one thing I like about the movie that's done well is that in most movies, people just sort of take these ominous things and then go, I guess I'll just walk away from this when a real person would honestly ask, like, hey, could you stop being assholes and
just... I have two kids. I need to know what's going on. What went on? You know, what's going on?
Also, I think it's required by law that if someone dies in your house, that you have to tell them.
They did. That's what he was mad at his realtor for not disclosing.
He lied.
Yeah, not just the realtor with the sweetest BlackBerry ever on his...
Oh,
head.
Man, I like that. Yeah.
God
maybe
damn
this
it.
Was maybe this was early in 2009.
It may have been filmed in 2005. I think it was the same BlackBerry you had for a while.
Oh god, that was terrible phone.
It was gigantic.
It was. Did you ever see Drew's old one before we went to iPhone?
Well, iPhone didn't exist when I first
got it
either. And it was the worst thing because all I wanted to do
was... Wait, there
was
a time when iPhones didn't exist?
Yes.
All I wanted to do
only
was
been
go,
5 years.
All I wanted to do was go on the internet with that thing, and it was so...
Oh
god,
I was jealous
slow.
Of it though. I was like, man, that's a sweet BlackBerry.
No.
And that's what it was.
I'll go one farther. I remember seeing the commercial for the Razor, and I was like, oh.
The flip phone?
Yeah. It was a fucking flip phone Razor. Like, look at... I don't know why I was so
even
turned
on
by this.
Even the pink
one
was like, ooh, yeah.
It's like, that is a thin phone. I can't imagine how great that would feel to call people on and hold.
And to constantly push it up against your head and hear that hinge go... And then finally crack as you try to put your head too close on it.
Is that what happened?
Never happened to me.
I used a flip phone.
One time, I did have a flip phone that I hated before that. I always went for the cheap phones before I did iPhone. And there is nothing more satisfying than taking a phone that doesn't work, a flip phone, and just fucking breaking it in half. Oh my, and flinging the broken pieces at the wall. Love hulking out.
When I got my first phone, I thought it was cool to wear it on your, you know, your hip.
Lots of people still do.
They do, and I realized that it wasn't cool very quickly, and I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Don't you hate when you enthusiastically do something you think is cool and then realize how uncool it is?
Oh,
I'm trying to think of something like... I've always been really conservative with changing things about myself for that very reason. I'm afraid of trying the new thing that will look really stupid.
My
dad's always been successful.
Let me tell you what I hope I never see on you is the constant Bluetooth in your ear.
Oh,
I'm glad I never fell for... I was like, that looks...
I've
really...
used it. I've used a Bluetooth headset in a car before where it's supposed to be used. But I like when I go into stores and these people are just walking around with them in their head all the time.
Yeah.
And they're not... I mean, these aren't Wall Street brokers, okay?
They're just... And it embarrasses me because when I first encountered this, and it was in the opposite ear, I would respond to these people. They'd be like, what'd you think about that game? Like, it was fine.
Oh,
you're not talking to me.
Well, what I can't say is
dipshit.
Sitting in the movie theater and somebody decides they start to wear it and it's flash and it does its flashing thing.
What? That still happens in 2013?
Who
still has that?
Oh, god damn.
Brian's wearing his Bluetooth. We're making fun of it because Brian's wearing his Bluetooth right now.
No, I've... That is...
Well, no, Brian has a Bluetooth.
When I went to a...
Dead tooth.
It was a... it's a lot of tetracycline term tooth glue. We were at a party, and this person... It was like I say party, it was a gathering of people at a rib place. And this woman, we were sitting there talking, and she had the Bluetooth in her ear the whole time. I'm like, what fucking important call are you going to get that you can't pull your phone out of your pocket and just say the words you need to say? Or, hang on a second. Okay, I'm ready to talk now.
It reminds me, though, like, what I like is that we haven't reached the singularity yet. So it's easy to just take off a Bluetooth and fucking throw it away. But imagine when we get the chips and shit implanted in our heads and we can't take it away, so we constantly have something in our temple that blinks. And it's like, oh, that guy did the implant from 5 years ago and he hasn't upgraded yet. What a dipshit.
Right, you have this permanent scar on your head.
Imagine the teenagers then and how awful that's going to be.
It's going to be great because now,
I have one.
The worst
thing. It's so bad about clothes at this point? Jeez.
The worst thing the kids do now is they'll put this shit through their ear, but that will eventually grow back, or they cut their lobes off and whatever. That's fine. But in the future, when you have shit literally attached to you or inside of your head and there's that scar, it's like, oh, that guy. The Razer flip phone head.
We're on our way to Google Glass. Have you watched any video of that?
It's awesome. I can't wait.
It's amazing, but also at the same time, like, terrifying? This is it. Well, no, this is it. This is the. We've had the steps of coming, getting to the almost Android like.
Yeah.
But that's the big step.
And then it will be the fucking the.
Last Starfighter.
Yeah. What are the things you put on your eyes called?
A monocle.
Yeah.
No. If you correct the vision.
Oh, LASIK surgery.
No.
Contacts.
It'll be built into your contacts.
Jesus Christ. The easiest was.
Sometimes you lose words.
But what I just we were like.
Oh, I understand losing words far too well.
Correct.
he won that battle.
Art imitates reality. But yeah, we're going to get to that point where we have these contacts that argue, and when they malfunction, 100 people are going to die. Because someone's going to be driving down the road, and their Google contacts are going to break, and they're going to slide into 40 other cars on 85.
I used to have a Jeep Wrangler, and Nicole had contacts at the time, and every time I took the top off that fucking thing, I'd be like, oh, my contacts! They're drying out!
That's bullshit. I have had contacts since I was in fifth grade, and my first car was a convertible, and it was just fine.
She looked for something to complain about. Yeah, but did you have the doors off your car?
She had so much to complain about already.
I know she did. But did you have the doors off?
That should always be your argument when she complains about something really small. She's like, there's so much shit you can hate me for. Why are you wasting your?
Oh, I do the. I do it all the time. When she's like you're an idiot. I'm like, well, look who married me. It's beautiful. Or she goes, you make bad choices. Like, well, there's one choice I made that was pretty good, don't you think?
Or, you made a worse choice than I did, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. You're the dummy. All
right, so.
Luis has got a little bit of a back problem, a back acne problem.
Back-ne.
A back-ne, yeah.
A back-ne problem.
I don't even know, was that her? I wondered that scene.
Like, when she takes her shirt. Because
she's 19 now, and that movie
she
was
15
filmed.
When it was released, so she had to have been
13. Oh, wait, guys.
But she can. I didn't even make a joke.
The Spanish Natalie Portman.
I can't imagine though that it would be somebody else because it looks so much like her.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't show anything.
No,
I just wondered
because we didn't see anything.
Didn't Hannah Montana have what's her name in the tub a lot and whatever?
I didn't watch it. I know
what's her name?
Fanning Dakota. Fanning.
Yeah, Dakota Fanning.
I mean,
is it a hound dog?
Yeah.
And then
before she was raped.
Have you seen the movie with what's her name from Kick-Ass in it?
Chloe,
the newer
Grace Moretz. Which one?
The one where she has on the cover. It's on Netflix, but she has a gun on the cover of it.
Kick-Ass.
Yeah, no, that's the other one where she has a gun. Runt or something like that. No.
Is she naked in it?
She shouldn't.
There's
be.
A lot of bad shit.
She shouldn't
in it.
Be.
She's only like
legally.
11. She's still only
She's
like
11.
I think her best. I think her best role is was Jack Donaghy's nemesis
awesome
in 30 Rock.
Yeah, she is awesome.
Oh my god,
I
was
watching
so
that show.
I like.
Early
she's
on.
Really good as a thing. Like,
she knows.
She's
yeah,
good
she's.
Good.
She, I look forward to seeing her in Carrie.
Yeah, she'll be a good new Carrie.
If Evil Dead is as
god,
which, at this point,
I
mean, I know people who've seen
but
it.
But it's gonna
at
have
sneak
to come
preview.
Out.
Yeah, well,
it'll be months later. It's already come out months now, but. If that proves to be great, like a great gore fest, if they keep the same theme with Carrie and the blood and stuff like that,
is the same person awesome. Doing it?
No, but
well, I was just wondering. I mean,
just thematically, like
right.
the having R-rated horror that isn't afraid of blood.
If
no,
people are
yeah,
as excited about
see,
Evil
yeah.
Dead, if they see
right.
it, and be like people are like, holy shit, people want these movies again.
Yeah, that's what I want.
We'll get an 80s resurgence
instead of a largely bloodless film like The New Daughter, which is. The problem with it later on is that it doesn't ramp. It does ramp up, but not in the right ways. It does the Ring. It is too influenced by movies like The Ring, and not influenced enough by, like, what are the better monster movies to come out in the 2000s?
The Burrowers.
God. But like, 2000s? It does The Ring because he goes on a journey to find out stuff.
But I mean, what kind of monsters?
Not
are
like
about?
Big monsters.
Cloverfield.
Again,
no,
not
but not big monster movies, like more domestic monster movies. Like the, I mean, I can't think of any, but it is less influenced by those.
It's more like Body Snatchers. You know, yeah. Body Snatchers meets you know, a teen angsty drama thing. 90210 and the Body Snatchers.
But see, it doesn't build on that very well because we don't. At the heart of this movie, it should be about the daughter sort of descent into madness and how her dad will deal with it, whereas they sort of deflect a lot of that by him going on these quests to find other things that really don't ultimately matter, you know?
I liked that. I will give the movie kudos for no one trying a southern accent.
Yeah.
Even though they were in South Carolina. I was like, bravo, guys. You know, you were in the South. Not everyone has an accent like that, but I'm glad nobody was like, moved into the wrong place there, son.
I'm just glad he didn't as well, because I've seen 13 Days. I've heard his Bastin accent. So
he's moved. He moves to the South, though, so that's acceptable.
No, yeah, you're right.
Right. Yeah. But no, even the couple in the store and the teacher and the police officer who I recognize from somewhere, and I can't.
I looked it up.
I know
and
he
I'm
was
blanking
her,
on it.
Who was it? Wasn't he?
I looked him up just the other day, and now I can't remember. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
What were you about to say, though?
My thing was that when they get to this mound that is drawing the daughter to it, and, you know, they make a lot of allusion to ants, and so I thought, oh, they're looking for a new queen. That must be what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when they dig up when the backhoe digs up the body, and the police officer goes, of the babysitter,
mm-hmm.
And he goes, she's been eaten alive. Can you prove someone's been eaten? I mean, yeah, you can prove someone's been eaten alive.
But, oh, God. The more I talk about this movie, the less I want to talk about this movie.
Well, we've done a good job not talking about this movie.
This podcast has just become a backdrop for us talking about stuff we find interesting, which is totally fine.
Right. Unless you're Kevin Costner and you've settled down and like, I'm going to see what these... Let me see what these guys have said about
my
movie.
He's in Buried, U571.
Oh... He also
TV
plays
shows.
like a someone's stepbrother that tries to make out like, oh, it was in like Can't Hardly Wait, like he was a stepbrother that keeps trying to like, oh, we're stepbrothers, we can make out, and she's like, ah,
nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Keep going, keep digging.
I'm gonna cut all this out.
No, you're not.
I mean,
keep
you
it
could
dude
still keep talking about something. You can wait on me, I'll come back.
So
hey, not look, going anywhere.
Hey, look, it's Jeff Goldblum from The Fly. In the corner, that's what I thought immediately when they showed the brindle fly in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, look, it's Jeff Goldblum. This is what I was wishing the creatures from The Burrowers look like.
Well, that's what I actually brought that up, and I think it's like, this is, I just thought The Burrowers when I saw these creatures. Yeah. They looked very similar to him. Yeah, Can't Hardly Wait, Cousin Ron.
Yes! Fuck you, Tyler.
Why fuck me?
Because you were like, no.
And you said, I want to move on.
You said it with such conviction.
Did I?
This whole podcast is nothing but one long non sequitur.
Yeah. That's fine.
And you want to move it forward?
Ultimately,
bro.
Ultimately, the second and third acts of this movie seem sort of apropos of nothing. They just. I mean, it's not a poorly made film. Like, ultimately, it's fine, but it's just not compelling at all. And I didn't care. Like, by the time he got to go see the coach from Major League. This was his last film, by the way.
Oh.
So two people from great 80s baseball movies. I didn't give a shit. There was nothing, like, what is the, where is the tension supposed to come
He's
from?
He's also in Cabin Boy as one of the sailors that, you want to hear a little fisherman's Greek?
He felt up a girl's ass.
he has such a great voice.
That, I have down here, is like, is it? Once you become homeless, do they give you a pair of gloves with no fingers?
Oh, yeah.
That is a requirement. Like,
the government. That's the one thing the government gives
welcome you. Welcome to Under the Bridge. Here's your gloves. Under the Bridge. a horrible Chili Pepper song. Anyway.
The one thing that bothered me the most late in the movie, and maybe it was even middle of the movie, that was the smallest door handle for the largest door I've ever seen.
I didn't see that.
When the scene where the, I guess it was the babysitter when she was being attacked.
Oh, yeah.
And they're jiggling the handle, and there's just like this little tiny...
Dainty.
This little tiny door handle, and a huge plate that it was set into. It was a terrible door handle for that door. Awful.
But where is the tension for this movie supposed to come from? What is like, what is, why are we supposed to feel this is compelling or hard or difficult?
If you're a dad of a teenage daughter, or I guess maybe a little girl who might grow up to be a teenage daughter, maybe that's it. Because, I mean, because honestly, because
it should manifest itself in some other way. Like, she only becomes a little bitchy. Like,
yeah,
her arc is
she
not
was no different than a teenage girl.
Right, yeah, that wasn't that
her
difficult.
Arc is not to become evil and sinister. Her arc is that she just becomes a little bitchier.
I found it funny that at the end, when he decides to go after the mound, that no one found the opening to it until that very moment. I mean, they had a fucking backhoe out there. He's like, he pulls
they
away.
They stand out there for presumably hours.
He pulls one shrub aside. He's like, oh, and then of course, flashlight goes out. Which is,
of course,
I've never had a flashlight go out on me.
No one has.
By then, I had so mentally checked out of this film that I just did not even think about that.
I checked out much earlier. This is the most bored I've been in any of the movies.
I was updating.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was updating stuff. I was looking at.
There was nothing we've watched.
I really liked the first act, man. I even made a point to write a note that's like, "Don't forget to mention that you like the. No matter what happens henceforth, the first act is totally acceptable."
I gave it a chance. I was trying like that, but I mean, I checked out way before you did. Not even enough that I would say I like the first act. It was like that thing on the roof, and then we never saw it again. And there are spiders and a teenage daughter who's kind of hormonal.
We'll see it in the last shot.
Well, that's what I hate. I wish that. Why aren't there more? Why we had a creepy moment early on? We need more of that.
And then there's no
I
more.
Enjoyed,
I mean, we see that.
I did like the break-in sequence. I will say that the break-in sequence where he runs around a little bit and they're all around the house and
let's
then she gets stabbed
in
the throat.
Did he finally? He runs like an awkward old man.
Because Kevin Costner does not move fast.
He lumbers. He lumbers.
They need to make a Frankenstein movie with Kevin Costner with no makeup on.
He dad runs. He
yeah.
dad runs. Yeah. His body is better than De Niro. And Mary says Frankenstein. I did not like De Niro's monster.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
That's the one thing, I mean, it's me too, but the one thing I remember from that point is I did not like De Niro's monster.
Don't scream. That's the big thing from the trailer.
I'm trying to figure out something. I do think that at this point, Samantha Mathis and Martha Plimpton were always kind of tied together in my mind. And at this point, Martha Plimpton is greater than Samantha Mathis.
What happens?
Do you realize that pussy and pussy are spelled exactly the same? And it's hard to... I typed it and I was like...
There's a reason for that. They both secrete.
You're wondering how you type pussy in the notes?
Louisa has two weird pussy bites on her neck is much odder to read than pussy bites. So, two pussy bites.
Is pussy P-U-S-S-E? Isn't it P-U-S-E-Y?
No. Is
that'd
it?
Be Pusey.
No. That'd be Pusey.
Gary Pusey?
Gary Pusey. Gary Pusey is my favorite actor.
Garbageville Kid?
Yeah, he's my favorite Garbageville Kid. Gary Pusey.
They're selling those now again. We saw them last
night.
That's
cool.
I had a moment talking with Jackson.
You know
I was
who
like,
created those?
Who did? I've heard this
Art Spiegelman. He was involved in the creation process. Art Spiegelman, the guy who wrote Mouse, the most compelling comic book about World War II and the Nazi death camps. Also helped to create the Garbage Pail Kids. Crazy.
That's funny.
I remember that was a tough VHS tape to get when it first came out. The Garbage Pail Kids,
the movie,
Mouse. Like the town. That's what everyone was trying to get. And it was you had to put your name on like the waiting list. It took
my mom, I can tell. I think I remember now. This brings up a repressed memory. I think my mom was really just sort of like let down that I would want to watch that shit.
Did you have a huge folder full of Garbage Pail Kids?
I had some.
Yeah, man.
It reminds me. My mom let me watch a lot of stuff, including the Garbage Pail movie. But I think we rented like one of the Troma movies once because I watched literally everything in the movie theater. But there was one movie.
Movie store or the theater?
Excuse me, movie store.
Okay.
There was one movie.
That's a childhood there.
My mom.
She just dropped
the one movie we did return. It was
six.
I think it was a Troma flick. That sound you just heard was Brian's clumsily hitting his phone. Don't compound it by doing something more fucked up.
Why don't you eat a dick? Tyler.
But the one movie we returned, in the first 5 minutes, someone sprayed someone with a condom spray, and it got on the counter saying, yeah, and my mom was like, we're not watching this. We're taking this back right now.
I remember renting.
And she, like, talked to the guy, like, hey, you see I rented this with my child. How did you let me rent this? And then I picked up the, whatever the 1980s Willard movie was, or what, like, the movie with
Ben?
Was that Ben, the movie with all the rats?
Those are 80s. No, those are much. Those 70s.
So the movie with all the rats,
yeah,
is the one.
And then Ben, yeah.
My mom takes back that movie, but lets me rent a movie about rats killing people. So
parents are so.
And I probably did not realize the irony of, like, we're going to put this movie back, but my son's going to watch this movie.
Did it have Michael Jackson?
But it's not nearly as bad as a trauma movie.
Yeah,
in that
really
sense.
Not.
I mean, yes, there are rats killing people, but it does have Michael Jackson.
I remember the.
Ben. The two of us must look no more.
Okay, that's all we can afford.
Renting Platoon when I was, like, I think I was either 10 or 11, and trying to watch that at a friend's house.
You should have been bored. Yeah.
I just remember his dad coming in, because as soon as the cussing started, which is the very first scene, he was like, what the, you know, of course, and great, you know, irony, like, what the fuck are you watching down here? So he, and like, I remember him taking his kid upstairs and letting me continue to watch it. But I was like, this is boring. I don't
Well, that's
this.
Like to Wild Things. We rented it in high school and watched it at my friend Wesley's house. But their living room was like the middle ground of the house. It was a big ranch style house. So kitchen, big living room, rest of the house. And we were watching, and then there's a scene where the mom and someone else are just going at it, just fucking like beasts. And Wesley's mom, this guy I went to high school with, she comes in, sits down at the computer, like types something awkwardly for just a second, and without a word, just gets up and walks out and lets us finish watching the movie.
It's a good mom.
That's a good guy Greg move right there.
Do you want to get some idea of Drew as a kid?
Sure.
It's gonna be nothing like any of your childhoods. I went to a party at a friend's house. It was a spend the night thing, and they put something R rated on. I don't remember what. Maybe Beverly Hills Cop. I'm not sure. And I voluntarily went in the kitchen to watch something else on this tiny TV.
Oh, that does sound like
me. I was not supposed to watch R-rated movies.
I hope my son's as good as that.
That's what I did.
At the same time,
I left the room. I sat there. His grandmother was in the kitchen, and I talked with his grandmother.
I got a good story.
I never had those situations, so I think my house growing up was the one where other parents didn't let their kids come over because I was allowed to watch whatever I wanted. Because for my birthday every year, I had a sleepover and would rent all of the horror movies that I hadn't watched. Or every year, though, I rented Sleepaway Camp. The first Sleepaway Camp I watched every year for my birthday. And I'm like 9, 10 years old watching Sleepaway Camp.
I don't know how... Now we know you're fucked up.
Yeah.
That last scene would fuck up anyone.
I was like, isn't that crazy?
I think it was either 6th or 7th grade, I found porn in my dad's drawer.
Was it buried in the woods?
No, it was not. It was in his drawer. I was, you know, of course, at that age, I was just digging through their room to find whatever shit I could. I know he had a stash. He had a stash of Playboy, so I knew he had that. So I found this video, figured out what it was. I'd watch it every day after fucking school. Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. So, anyway, I had... went to a sleepover and brought the porn thing, right? So we stayed up all night and we were watching this thing. At one point, the friend's dad came in, but the TV was against the wall here, and he came in. I was like, hey, and he, like, we had to shut it off real quick. But I did get caught for watching it, but only by my dad, because I had written as a joke down one of the lines from the porn was like, move over, Mary Lou, let me get a sunflower. It was a porn about a slave that
who'd
come back from the Civil War.
God,
so I'd written that down,
no.
And I came home, my mom and dad went, where is it? And I had to get it out of my bag and give it to him. I never saw it after that.
That's awesome.
If I saw that movie now, I'd probably just come immediately, because that's the kind of memory it
nostalgia.
Has to me. You're right. Nostalgia.
Like, it is the Farrah Fawcett poster of your childhood.
Oh my God, it was so ridiculous.
I was really smart about it growing up.
No,
because
the Farrah Fawcett poster, he had that
he
too.
He actually had that. I'm sorry,
I did have that too.
Cindy Crawford was my time.
Yeah. Kathy Ireland was my time. Growing up, though, I was.
Alien from LA.
I was smart about it because I would note where it was in the VHS, and I would just rewind to that point once I was up, which is only like two or three minutes. I mean, I was 13. Really just bringing the video out of the closet and taking it to the VHS. I was pretty much done. I mean, that was really all
just
it took when I was 13.
You're already like,
my dad had a huge like moving box in his closet. I would sit in that fucking closet for hours just looking at Playboys. Like, yeah. Just, oh my God.
It was great. No, it was a great time. I think kids have missed that sense of discovery.
Yeah.
The
internet is taking that away.
It's taken away because the guy who lived behind my house, his name was JT. He was several years older than I was, like 3 years older than I was. But somehow he got a hold of some porn mags. And we're talking not Playboy. We're talking about...
Cherry.
Some skin mags.
They didn't have the covers on them. But women... It's gross. It's not even sexual, but I thought it was sexual, obviously.
The dick almost in, but just right outside the door.
And just women holding themselves open. It's like, there's nothing beautiful about that.
Just so everyone knows, the actual hand motion Tyler made there looks like bars
like,
being
no,
pried.
Say goatee. It was like,
it's
female,
yeah,
it was female goatee.
Yeah.
What we would do is we would look at it, we'd trade magazines, but then we would hide it in the woods.
It
lasted all, did you guys have that?
Oh,
we
had the
hidden woods. The hidden woods porn.
I found several people when you go there.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Like these, you know, where the wind and the rain had blown issues, you know,
yeah.
Pages all over the place.
We
so
had a ravine behind our house and...
Avril Lavigne.
But the way the neighborhood was...
Avril Lavigne.
The way the neighborhood moved it was like a drainage ditch,
Avril Lavigne, a drainage ditch.
So someone had taken put all of the porn mags in a Ziploc bag.
See, that's
bag.
Smart.
You
and
like a spoon it up reference to that. That's really.
And like, put it in the pipes, and anybody could find the like in the drainage pipe. Oh my God! It was like the neighborhood stink bank. Everybody go down. We all knew they were there. Nobody stole them. Nobody took them home. We'd all just go down there and look at them. We'd go home and take care of business. Nobody talked about jerking off, but we were all doing it.
How did we get back into this movie?
I don't know.
We're almost done, so let's go there.
That ravine, the daughter finds a.
He finds out. I'm probably going to put all that stuff after the credits, so that it will be the.
Everybody likes
this. So, okay, all right. Plot devices so we can get to the end. He finds out that people had died in the house and someone moved away. Like, the kid moved away to the grandma's, the house caught on fire. And he goes.
The mom disappears, the girl was found in the closet, and so the grandfather comes and takes her.
The nest.
Yeah. And then she sets the house on fire. The kid does. So he goes to find the guy, and he finds out that the grandfather set the fire because she wasn't
the
same person.
I set the fire.
A father would do anything for his daughter.
I hoped it implied that he was willing to kill his daughter.
Yeah.
That would have made this movie at least like, oh, fuck. They at least built up to this really compelling moment.
Right. Well, because,
did he kill her, though? Because he didn't. She didn't appear at the end.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about
only
that.
He did. Okay,
there
we'll get
lots
to him.
Things we'll have to get there.
The end.
We'll have some questions.
So they bring him away so that the babysitter can get killed, and then. For some reason, the teacher spends the rest of the time there at the house, becomes live-in girlfriend, it seems.
I like how they actually use the teacher to address the fact that they have a Spanish actress playing Kevin Costner's daughter. It's like, oh, well, she told us she was adopted, and we just thought she was because of how, you know,
she's
she
Spanish.
Looks like she looks at, and he's like, no, she takes after her mom. It's like, yeah. I like how they felt that was necessary to address. I've seen many movies where someone is playing the daughter of someone that looks nothing like them. They haven't felt they had to address that
fact. I have friends with blonde and brown hair that have bright redheaded kids. Nobody, well, we do question what they think.
But in this movie, they felt they had to address, you know, why she looked that way. I did enjoy that. And that was Samantha Mathis' character who had to do that. Then I like how he actually dreams a surreal award-winning short film.
Yeah, the ring. I called it the ring sequence.
Yeah, it's like you could see that somewhere winning some sort of horror award for best first short or something. Yeah.
What part is that?
The
black and white dream. Did you not see it?
You slept through that part.
Well, now I'm confused because there's a lot of black and white stuff in Bioshock Infinite. So now I'm not sure if I saw it in Bioshock Infinite or if I saw it in this movie.
If you can compare those two things, then you are missing something.
There's a girl on the mound. It was black and white. It's like a door on the mound. It just looks like
sounds a lot like Bioshock Infinite, actually.
Jesus
there's
Christ.
A door. There's a door and a girl.
I don't know
that scene
at all.
Yeah. Well, it happened.
Spoiler alert: there's a girl in Bioshock Infinite.
Spoiler alert: Brian wasn't paying too much attention.
I like when we learn about the closet nest that she has.
I did like that moment, though. I was like, oh, fuck, that's so... The only thing that made it better... Kids do hoard things when they're... Because we just talked about how kids will keep things...
I wish she had had piles of shit in there.
Weren't there? Were those cones? They were like, they look like pieces of horse shit. You know how horse shit has the like...
There's all this mud and stuff.
But they were distinct cones of shit.
Yeah.
I like to think of her fashioning her shit into cones.
I like to think it was a whole new meaning, to coming out of the closet.
Coming into the closet.
I'm the queen.
So she's
I'm the queen of the mound.
What?
Well, I assume she was a queen. Like, they were looking for some queen of the mound because they kept referencing ants.
Yeah.
There were a lot of ant shots.
Beard and ants. I want to see the creatures.
The creatures look nothing like ants. They just have a...
They get enough... You
know, they just look like generic
They get enough
aliens.
Chin lifts. Yeah. They'll have a beard, if you know what I mean.
Well, they look like burrowers, except not with the reverse joints and not with the... Well, they did kind of have the
That
the
just must be really easy to CGI.
But was that CGI? Is the
part
face?
Part of it is CGI. Yeah.
I mean, there are people in body suits, but with a CGI'd mouth, maybe. I did like one thing that I thought was really refreshing about it is I really thought it was going to be a haunted house movie,
and it wasn't
at the beginning. I mean, because it always is like some spirits possessing the daughter. I guess it was refreshing that it was some sort of burrowing.
It reminded
monsters.
Me somewhat of Silent House.
Do you think that
it just had a house?
It did have a house.
That they
and there was silence in many scenes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think when
because
they...
Kevin Costner was thinking of his lines? Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
When they screened...
But the one thing I like...
when they screened this movie, do you think Kevin Costner probably had the same reaction that we do sometimes after we do a podcast and we're like, well, we got to put it out there.
Yeah, no, I've never had that about this podcast. Why do you constantly down-talk our podcast?
I'm just wondering his reaction because... He had to have seen the same movie we saw.
Did it get released in theaters?
I think barely. When I was looking at, I think Anchor Bay might have barely released it at one point. But no, it was mostly straight to DVD or whatever. I thought
we did a podcast. It was really bad. I was like, this is probably a stinker.
Let me go back to saying I was not agreeing with him that I feel that way over a podcast. I do imagine that an actor like Kevin Costner, he gets done with something like this, and he's like, that didn't turn out how we wanted, but I'm going to move on to something else.
I can't think about it.
I got paid. I'm moving on.
I think it was the Don't Go in the Woods episode.
Maybe that's what it was.
Because you didn't play your guitar ever.
I don't know if anybody knows this, but I'm kind of shy about things. I'm really introverted, so I don't
Mostly it means
not
penis
at all. Yeah.
Is introverted. And he
yeah,
it
his
goes
body
inside my cavity.
Mostly what he means.
It's like a turtle head.
Have you ever been so cold that happens?
No.
Oh, I haven't before. Dude.
I've been so terrified it's come close. I'm not putting this in the podcast.
I've been so like, what? Where did it go? It's so fucking cold outside. No, I am outside naked. So, singing Goodbye Horses on the back of my house.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so.
What song was that?
Let's finish Goodbye Horses.
No, it wasn't.
What's his cover?
It's my cover of Goodbye Horses.
Oh, gotcha.
I did like the birthing climax where we get the whole thing was like, you gotta push when he's actually leaving the thing. He's like, they're saying that. I was like, I guess this is what we should be saying. What?
Tyler's got his foot in my balls right here.
I was really wondering. I was like, what did I just say?
What is Brian?
It was really shocking.
What? Well, we always thought it would happen. Brian's finally pulled his dick out on the podcast.
Oh man!
I'd wondered.
What were you saying to him?
We got when they go out to. Well, I mean, I guess I've jumped ahead to where he's out of the mound, and he's already
going to blow it up,
and he's coming back out of the mound,
Pubic mound.
And, yeah, when he's.
I totally just zoned out during. I know he went out and went in, and came back out. I don't know what happened while he was.
There was the cool sequence at the house when he had to when he was a. So
I
like
that.
He's like, what did he say? He's like, move away or something like that, or be still. I can't remember what he tells the kid, but he's sitting there.
Move away or be still.
It's one of those two.
He's like, pretend you're me. Move away, just be still.
And he's shooting a couple. I mean, that's a really cool sequence. And then he realizes the daughter's gone, and he goes to the mound.
Yeah. I did like that sequence, though. I would like to have seen that on a big screen, but... Because just watching it in the middle of the day on my TV where I'm shredding documents like I was in Argo. It didn't play well.
Texas, not this year.
I gotta get this shit out of here.
Just, like, picture you like looking it back over the screen like, fuck. like some imaginary person's after you as you're trying to watch a movie or a podcast.
God damn it! So we go to the mound.
If they can't trace it, they'll never get me.
I don't know why I tear, even though I don't have a paper shredder, really, I will tear them up into tiny bits like someone actually wants. Like, hey, you want my credit score? Fucking go ahead,
that's,
buddy.
That's always funny to me with, like, when people get that bent out of shape about their personal stuff. I'm like, who is digging through the garbage to find our shit?
My stuff. If they saw my credit, if they only need, they only need look one line down from like my social security number to see all the financial horrific shit to be dissuaded from stealing. I was like, maybe not this guy's identity.
Maybe they could actually do yours better.
They would spend moderately and pay it off each month. Like,
this person who stole my identity is very responsible.
That would be a really great sketch.
Your,
I think
your credit score is going up. You're like, I don't know what to do about this.
People are calling and offering credit cards to me. Like,
should I stop it?
Yeah, and I'm gonna let them. They're doing better with my identity than I ever thought.
No money goes out except to pay bills.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I had my mother-in-law at one point came over and to give me an old computer that her parents had. She's like, "Well, we brought it over here. Maybe we figured you could delete all the data." I was like, "Yeah, I'll take care of it." As soon as she left, I just threw it in the garbage. Just like, what are they gonna get off of it? I was like, "Did you keep records on there?" Like. Quicken, or did you know? What did you put on there? Well, you know, they access their bank accounts to the internet. I was like, okay, I'll take care of it when you leave. Fuck you. I'm throwing this away.
I have three MacBooks.
Like, she listens to this.
So let me ask your opinion. Let me ask your opinion. Should I have three old MacBooks that don't work. Should I just throw them away?
I can't answer that because I just cleaned out a drawer with two MacBooks in it, put them into a box.
And just kept the box.
With all my old software, and I put two MacBooks, Mac software. I was like, I don't know, I don't want to get rid of these. They feel like during an apocalypse, they could come back to help, even though they don't start now.
So what should we do? So what should we do?
I don't know.
Let's get rid of them. Let's make a pact.
You should chain them all together and make a
throw them to the bottom of the ocean.
I don't know if we should just sell them or somebody could use them. Why?
But see, if you sell a broken computer to somebody who could fix ostensibly a broken computer, I'm not worried about people finding pictures of my dick, which don't exist. I'm worried about them finding all
your
of
dick
my
dick or the pictures.
Am I right?
I'm not worried about them finding my dick, which I haven't found in years. I'm more worried about them finding my shitty short stories and when I attempt to write poetry. Like, this guy. No wonder he threw this computer away. It's not like he was using it for anything. Jesus Christ.
I like the idea of these thieves who are so illiterate that they're reading.
He rhymed door and floor. Fuck. Go back to second grade, asshole. Billy Madison needs a tutor.
I wish someone would find my old computer and find my old G.I. Joe treatment that I did for this three-film G.I. Joe.
I have a floppy disk at home that I haven't thrown away
maybe
for some reason.
I was hoping you were saying your G.I. Joe inventory. Like, you had kept them
awesome.
On a spreadsheet.
No.
And their traits. That would be the best
you have scanned
if you were,
all their little the back the cards in the back.
Somebody else has done that. You can find that online.
If I were a child again and I had a computer with Excel, I might have been the kid who played with my G.I. Joes and then wrote out their characteristics on an Excel spreadsheet, like just to know what they would and would not do.
My God,
fucking amazing!
That sounds
awesome.
I was that kind of
kid. That actually sounds good right now.
I did that when I was a kid. Like, I would write down my characters and what they.
I wanted to organize so bad, but I didn't have the means to. It was all just paper.
Yeah.
Well,
which I would just
index cards or something like that.
I had a drawer in my desk that could lock that I kept all that shit in a locking.
As of anybody, like, the problem with privacy is that people act as if people want to know your private shit at all. And they don't. No one gives a shit.
Right.
They might about the financial stuff that you have, but that's it.
They don't. They really don't. Yeah.
They're not coming
It would make me
us.
Sad.
No.
It would make me sad for someone who steals identities to read my financial stuff.
I'm sorry, dude.
It would, yeah. Like,
Speaking of feeling sorry for people, how about our podcast listeners? Because we have droned on way too long.
I'm going to cut a lot of this out.
Oh.
We're not even, we're like really at an hour. Total.
Yeah, total. Yeah, we are. We only talked like 20 minutes before.
The first time was at 19 minutes, now we're at 39
if
minutes.
If you're wrong.
Would you like to add those
20?
Together?
No. Hang on, listen.
It has a calculator
let's
app.
Let's put her on the spot. If she's wrong.
You know
City Times.
Yeah.
It's City Times.
Saw that one.
So, at the end, do you think he kills his daughter at the end?
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought he killed him. Like, the way he threw everything down, I don't know how he survived that explosion.
But he did.
Well, we don't know that he did. We get the reflection in the picture. Yeah, which we can assume is him.
But he says dad. But then he said sister.
No, it's not his sister he does him, but he says dad, but he says it questioningly, too, when he's got people going, it's one of those endings that's left. They want us to purposely be like, oh, we don't know. Who does this survive? I hope they make a second one. Well, the thing is, the funniest thing is, the IMDb message board had back-to-back post. One said, worst ending ever, and another one said, fantastic ending. So, there's no middle ground on this one. Except here, where I was like, okay, so he's supposed to be dead, but he might not be dead. Oh, we did too, yeah.
I was in the middle of ripping a letter in half.
Too much effort on my part, so...
I was in the middle of cutting a tax form in half, so I was like, I'll go back. Oh, that was really underwhelming.
It looked like he blew them up, and he killed them, so I guess he killed the daughter, and then we see the reflection. I assume that was him coming up, and I assume the kid's home, but I also saw all the creatures coming in the background and figured, well, they're dead either way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's so what he goes. Because if he's the one who killed their new queen, I don't imagine that they're going to take too kindly to that.
We don't take too kindly to people killing our queen.
Either way, only one of them got away, and presumably, but he tries to save her. He wouldn't have killed her. He wouldn't have killed her if he'd gone in there to save her in the first place.
Well, but he saw what was happening to her. She was changing. Like, she was
as they were getting out.
Well, he pulled her out, and she's laying on the ground, and she's like, Dad. But the reason I thought he killed both of them is she said, don't leave me, and he said, I won't. So I thought he blew himself up there, which is one of those things that I hate in movies. It's why I hate...
He wouldn't even think of his son.
Well, that's the thing. It's like that's why I hate episode 3 in the fact that, all right, she died of a broken heart. Okay, yes, so Anakin broke your heart, but you have two tiny babies that need you, lady.
And that annoys I think you buried the lead there. She died of a broken heart.
No, yes, I know. That was.
Give me a fucking...
What is she, Juliet?
Yeah. Well, oh, she actually died of...
Romeo and Juliet.
I was thinking of... Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start. I was thinking Dire Straits.
Funny that we can think of so many songs that... Oh, Juliet, lots of songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just... That bothered me. It always bothers me in a movie when a parent... makes the conscious decision, well, I'm going to kill myself because this kid's much more important than this other kid that's alive.
Oh, you choose which kid you like better.
You wouldn't know. You only have one.
That's why I stay with one. I don't want to have to choose.
No Sophie's choice for you?
No way. I'm pro-choice.
Brian's choice? if it were Brian's choice.
I'm going to choose. I would just do the old Kaiser Soze thing and kill everyone. Just show that I was, you know, serious about shit.
So,
if I had to kill a kid... I would just kill both of them and kill myself. I couldn't live with myself after having to choose to kill a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just talking Sophie's choice now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
In this scenario, he either
kills the daughter who's turning into a ant burrowing monster and goes and lives a life with his son who's stupid about the gun, but otherwise seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Or he kills himself and the daughter and leaves the son to be molested by the ant.
He's like the little brother in The Hole. They're gonna molest the normal one.
Is that what we know about ants? Is they molest
these ant monster creatures?
So, oh my god, they molested
her. Would you see when she was like doing her molting weird thing in the bathtub earlier in the movie? They're washing off like they're washing off mud, and then all of a sudden they're washing blood from her.
They were putting that weird leech mouth on buttholes. Let's not mince words here, guys. We know what's happening. The worst part was when she started changing and they started playing the Deftones songs. I watched you change.
You guys, I watched a change. Whatever. In you. And it's also about pulling fly wings off, too. So mm-hmm. It's flies under glass.
Insects.
So insects, bugs, kind of.
It all works in together.
Do you like the Deftones?
I do like the Deftones.
I like White Pony.
The Deftones' newest album was really good.
Let me rephrase
good.
That. I like the Deftones... to an extent. I like their singles.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I like them. I don't
get it. I listen to the whole album.
No, I
liked Around the Fur and White Pony.
I do like the songs I've heard. I'm like, they're good
band. Check out their latest album. It was really good. It got a lot of, it was one of Metacritic's highest rated albums last year. And it was
Passenger, the song from White Pony that has Maynard James Keenan from Tool is fucking awesome.
I don't think you need to say who he's from. I think everyone knows.
Maynard James
Keenan. People who are listening to our podcast, I would hope, would know.
Hey, side note.
They also know that we find porn in sewage drains.
Apparently now they do.
Side note, I know they don't do our theme song anymore, but Baroness in town, May 29th. Not Athens, Atlanta.
Oh, I was going to say.
Fuck them.
The fuck you for not responding to our...
I don't care. It's fine.
Venomous Maximus is opening for them.
No, they're not. That would be awesome.
I just listened. I finally had to listen to them for the first time.
They're really good.
Venomous Maximus? Yeah.
Yeah, there's only a very small amount on Spotify that I listen to.
They signed a new deal, I guess a new record label, took the main album off, but that's now like there's a dip, there's a
right,
EP so on
EP,
there.
Yeah, that.
I think I sent you their... I think I you bought you have. A copy of their album and sent it to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that's what I have somewhere.
It's
really good.
I like what I heard.
It is a plug, but...
It is a plug,
it's a good plug.
Only
it's
a plug because we saw them in concert. Like, these guys are good.
Yeah. Hey, I think they're the most impressive band.
I
was most impressed by them. Like, damn, I expected to be good, but Venomous Maximus really came out.
It is rare when an opening band actually grabs me. I'm like, fuck, these guys are good.
Well, that's why it makes it even better when you get more excited about them when that happens.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to plug the ehorrorbargains.com. That has nothing to do with me, but I've been obsessed with it
recently.
Hey,
let's contact them, see if they want to do a... Why not?
Yeah,
Drew has gotten. I bought The Exorcist from them.
I mean, that, I mean
what
I,
kind of stuff does it have on there?
I mean, it's just,
I haven't looked at all.
This horror author Brian James Freeman, who wrote a really good short story called "The Painted Darkness" that I read recently and reviewed on Amazon as well. But he just spends his time scouring the internet looking for e-book bargains and for horror literature, and I mean stuff that's, I've gotten a ton of free stuff, 99-cent books, you know, $2.99 books, things like that. I mean, I've gotten a lot of stuff.
I like that you make it out like that's all he does all day.
Oh, I'm sure he does some stuff, and that's the thing. I try to figure out, how does it work otherwise, though? I'm assuming that in the middle of writing, he gets bored with writing, and so he then goes and scours the internet for deals, and then goes back
which
to
is what
writing.
I
or
do when
he
I write.
Has
and that's
the,
what I imagine
he has
he
the Brian job, where all he does is spend time on the internet instead of doing work.
But he writes.
I think I want to be...
That's what he's doing. He's a writer.
He's Kevin Costner?
I want to be a writer so I can do nothing for most of my day.
Why don't you do what Brian does? Just don't do anything.
Yeah. I want a job like that.
Here's the thing about like with writing, and I understand... Why?
He's
going to
tell you about writing.
Tell me about writing.
Who's the historical writer that I like wrote?
David McCullough.
David McCullough. He has like a room away from his house he goes and writes in where there's no internet connection.
Right.
Also, Pete Holmes talks about there's this website called like Hotel Tonight, and they just offer deals on like that day. Like at 12 o'clock they release the deals. You have to book it for that night, and he says that sometimes I just go there and I'll connect to the internet and just write because I'm not distracted by the stuff I have at my house.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not distracted by the internet because when I'm trying to do anything on the computer, eventually it'll lead me to Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, let me look this up. Let me do some research.
Research
just means surfing.
And yeah. Right, exactly. Let me buy this video game for research.
Yeah. So I'd say don't watch the new daughter. What would you watch instead? What are some alternate recommendations?
Any version
if you
want to
watch
the body snatchers you can find.
If you want to
watch
the 1978
Invasion of the Body
about kids getting fucked up, The Exorcist.
Disturbing Behavior. God damn, Brian.
This is the last night. This is it. I'm not going to use it anymore. It's become a
liability.
A liability. Yes.
I would say Disturbing Behavior is a far more interesting possessed teenagers movie.
Like, but we just have a soft spot for that. Let's face it.
I think it's a good movie.
I think it's really good, too.
I don't think it's just that we have romanticized it. I think it's also a fantastic movie.
And
like the scene where the girl's making out with him and he kind of rejects her. And James Marsden rejects her and she goes to the bathroom and starts hitting the fucking mirror with her forehead. That was amazing.
Wasn't there a scene in that that you would...
God damn it, I'm going to sell that DVD and now I want to watch it.
That you would quote all the time, the whole cue the power ballad, cue the... He makes some comment. I remember you talked about
that. I think that is from Disturbing Behavior.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't. I can't
remember.
Yes,
that's how long it's been. I've watched it. You're quoting me quoting it.
That's Nick Stahl's character.
I've seen it once.
I mean, I saw it twice.
It's great.
It reminded me of a John Saul book that I read, and I can't remember.
His books are bad.
Yes.
I saw it twice the first weekend it opened. I remember.
Oh my God.
I read one John Saul book, and I was like, never again.
I've never read any John Saul.
It's awful.
He was always one of those, when I used to wander the book aisle looking for another, like,
another novel
that's not Stephen King to read, he was one I always look at, but I never bought one.
It's not good.
Speaking of kids and bookstores, when I was in high school, the Walden Books at the Mall, my friends and I would play this game called Stalking.
You already told this on the podcast.
Okay, never mind then.
Yeah, you already told the story.
I put my dick out, guys, in Walden Books.
A lot.
Well, I mean, they have to actually be able to see it on camera to prosecute you.
Right. Ah, we just knew where the cameras were.
Trust me. And played up.
Trust me, when it comes out, it's a thing of beauty. But it don't take it out for air, buddy.
It doesn't take it out for air, body.
I hate you so fucking much.
Air, body.
God damn it, I hate you. All right,
so did he survive? Yes? No?
No.
Yes.
I say no. What do you think?
I say yes.
I think he's... The thing is...
I think he watches his child die in front of him and fights that thing that kills him.
What really bothers me is the way it's shot is no. There's no way what he had put together with all the gasoline...
He was limping.
There's no way that he survived that. But then by the reflection, I say yes. But then I think the monsters killed him anyway.
Oh, they all die at the end. Yeah, yeah, they all die. Which all die. Maybe that's on the director's cut?
This was a movie where
Kevin dies at the end.
We need to talk about Kevin dying at the end.
K-Cost.
K-Date.
I started trying to make K-Cost my thing in my notes, and it would try and autocorrect me so much that I just stopped.
Fuck you.
It just got annoying, so...
Fuck you, autocorrect.
I just stopped. Yeah, just a no. Don't watch it.
No, don't watch it. I say watch it.
I don't have anything else to like behavior. This.
Do it.
I have other stuff I
and
like.
And watch Terminator 2.
Yeah, fuck it.
Watch anything. Just watch something you like other than this. Yeah. That's fine. If you
find
want
some corn in a drain or your parents, your dresser drawers.
Yeah.
They still
yeah,
do that
go,
kind of thing.
Go wander through the woods. You might find a 1987 issue of Club Magazine or whatever.
Go watch VHS, which is on
yeah.
Netflix.
VHS is a much better movie. And there are a couple of possessions type stories on there.
All it's the things that you say
that movie
feel possession.
That movie is all about like teenagers and 20-somethings doing really dumb, fucked up yeah. things. So.
And you can also get ready for SVHS by watching it. So
we should do an episode about VHS.
I'll have to rewatch it at this point. Which is on
so,
Netflix. That's
but
fine.
See, the thing is, we all watched it separately and not... We've seen it, but I would rewatch it. We should...
I'd like to rewatch it since I didn't remember half the shit you were talking
he
about.
Did not. He did not.
We need... Yeah, let's do it. But we also... Let's watch one of those movies that the dude keeps bugging us about watching.
Oh, we're supposed to do that.
Let's do it. All right. We gotta go.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler. I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
What? Why did you wait?
I just thought it was funny.
God. Your sense of humor is way better than Brian's, though. All right,
fuck you.